Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on a Tuesday. Glad to be with you. Ready to have some fun. It is the All-Star Game. We had the Home Run Derby last night. Pretty good derby. Pretty good derby. Not the same star power as we're used to, I don't think, but I thought a good derby overall. We got to see some of baseball's young stars really get after it. And the Big Dumper continues his dream season. Cal Raleigh, first catcher ever to win the derby, which is surprising. I thought Piazza had one. But Raleigh gets it done. We've got that. We got a lot of football to talk today, too. We'll have our Chiefs insider, Felix Johnson, join the show. We've got drama, potentially, in the stadium debate. Predictable drama, if you ask me, but we'll get into that as well. We get ready for an All-Star game tonight. We've got a big deadline for the Chiefs and one of their star players coming up today. All kinds of good stuff for you today. We'll give away a little HTO as well. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, WBC Delano's debut brew, Hatfield's Mama, a German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character, smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, and it'll be available at all three Wichita Brewing Company brew pubs. I love Kolsch. Can't wait to try that beer from the Wichita Brewing Company. Tommy? Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Happy All-Star Game Day today. It was fun to watch that Home Run Derby last night. Of course, I'm a Braves fan, so having everything at Truist Park in Atlanta is a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite parks in Major League Baseball. Sure. And so looking forward to the game tonight, and we've got a lot to get to.
Truist Park, a kind of prototype for what you would envision a Royals stadium on the Kansas side looking like. They had so many great overhead shots and everything yesterday, which would give you some indication of what the area around a ballpark could look like potentially. So we'll have that for you. It is a great day to be around this show. We're going to have a lot of fun today. You can listen to us, of course, on KFH and call us that way at 869-1240. Max has that phone line ready for you. All the video streams, we appreciate you there as well. 12 News Connected. And of course, you can watch and leave comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X as well. Listen to us on the Odyssey app. You can leave us voice messages, believe it or not. Just hit the little microphone. And new to the show, we're glad you're listening to us on the iHeartRadio app. Tommy, you bigger into the Derby, you think? What are you more locked into, the Derby or the All-Star game itself?
I think historically the Derby, and I don't think recently that's been the case, but you know, going back to like the 90s when those guys were hitting mass home runs and you had Chris Berman on the call, like you couldn't beat the Home Run Derby with Griffey and McGuire and Sosa and Bonds and, you know, those guys doing it year in and year out. So it doesn't really quite hit the same for me nowadays as it used to, and that's probably nostalgia playing a role a little bit, but I would say nowadays it's the actual game. When I was a kid, it was probably the Derby.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. When I was a kid, I didn't miss a second of the All-Star game itself. I loved the All-Star game. I loved seeing Texas Rangers play in the All-Star game. So that was a big deal. Now it's kind of flipped. You know, when they, believe it or not, and I didn't like the rule. In fact, I think it may have cost the Rangers a World Series. I didn't like the home field advantage thing. I was okay with it, kind of in the beginning of like, oh, that might be fun. And then it's like, this is ridiculous. You can't determine it that way. And kind of since then, I haven't locked in as much to the game itself. I still watch, but I kind of lock into the Derby. Each of the kids, we all kind of took our pick last night and we had fuzz first time they really watched one and we all kind of locked in that way. That was fun. So it was good, but they're both good. I still contend they're collectively the best all-star thing that happens across sports.
I would agree, with that. I would absolutely agree with that. I don't know anybody that really gets into the Pro Bowl anymore these days in the NFL. With the way that they changed everything. And it doesn't really do anything for me. And then the NBA All-Star game is probably second to Major League Baseball. It's fine. It's not incredible, but it's fine. You know, and I, from what I know, and I don't know much about the NHL All-Star game, but from what I've heard, it's pretty good.
I've heard it's good.
But Major League Baseball has got to be head and shoulders above everybody else when it comes to what they do for all the All-Star festivities.
Was it the NHL All-Star game that granted us USA versus Canada in that situation this year that was so amazing?
I think maybe I don't know
something to do with it. Whatever it was. And I'm glad the NBA is going this route, kind of America versus the world.
Max tells me it's the Four Nations deal with the NHL.
So they did that. That was an incredible idea. That was the best All-Star festivity we've had in forever. Of course, in Major League Baseball, American League has won all but one All-Star game since 2013. The National League got it a couple of years ago. So that streak was fun to watch. But could you, and baseball is not going to do this because they have the World Baseball Classic, but could you imagine USA versus everybody else? We'd probably get killed because in baseball, so much of it comes internationally.
Yeah, it'd be, you know, the Dominican Republic or, you know, Venezuela.
You could put the Dominican against the rest of the world.
Right.
And probably it would
it'd probably be good.
But we get the World Baseball Classic, so we don't really need that. And that's coming this year, which I love the World Baseball Classic. But anyway, it was fun last night. It was fun for my kids to each, you know, take a pick, and they were trying to talk me into, like, do we bet on this? And like, for me, I'm like, well, yeah, we should. But, you know, mom's in the other room. I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. And like, well, did you bet on it? And I'm like, well, yeah, I did. Buxton was my guy. He didn't make it three. He had a nice showing though. It was good. I didn't think Raleigh was going to be able to do it. Man, what a year for Cal Raleigh. Now you kind of watch it and like, don't you just want him to get all of it? Like, I want him to get up there around Mickey Mantle's switch hitter home run record. I want him to break the catcher record. Like, I want it all for Cal Raleigh. It's just been out of nowhere for this guy, and I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because he's been in the league for a few years now, and he's broken on.
He's been a good player.
He's been good, but from a power perspective and what he's doing hitting home runs, we've not seen this before. It's pretty crazy.
It's wild, and obviously you don't go win a home run derby unless it's real. You talk about stamina and power. You have to have all of that stuff. But even the young stars, I thought, you know, probably not a lot of people know who James Wood is because the Nationals haven't been very good during his rise, and he hits his absolute monster bombs. I think people probably are a little more aware of O'Neill Cruz, but you get to see a good look at why he could be as talented as any player. Like, it was a nice display for baseball, even though you'd like to get Judge or Otani or, you know, like get even Acuna if he could have done it, like get some of those guys in there. I thought they did a nice job and maybe made some stars of the future. No Royals there, but plenty of Royals tonight in the actual All-Star game. You'd have to imagine Bobby Witt Jr. will play, and then it's kind of all bets are off from there. You don't really know if anybody else will actually get into the game, but we'll see. We'll see if they do. Carlos Estevez, I would guess, does, because he's a bullpen guy, but we'll have to just kind of tune in and watch a little bit. But nothing on the line. I root for the American League, and we'll see if they can get it done tonight. Maybe I'll find a way to bet that game. That's what I'll do before the end of the show. I'll find a bet to put down.
I'm a National League guy. I'm trying to have the National League get it done, and especially for Atlanta and Truist Park.
Can you at least admit now that the DH is better?
Oh, 100%. I've never fought that. I think it's a great thing for both leagues. I don't know why the National League resisted it for so long.
National League people, I'm like, guys, just trust me. Just get it for a second. You'll see. It's better. All right, we'll come back. Let's talk a little politics on the show. Don't worry. It has to do with the stadiums. We'll be right back.
Let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a cup of coffee, a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. We appreciate their support and their delicious beverage that they have all across the Odyssey studios. We welcome you back in here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Felix Johnson joins us in the next hour. We'll get with him, get to the latest on Trey Smith, have that discussion as we make our way through the show today. But Tommy, boy, they just can't leave well enough alone, can they? You have nice things, and then the politicians come out and start playing politics. And in the most pretty, what did I tell you? What did I tell you when that letter was written from Mark Donovan? It just like this all has been so predictable politically to me. In the letter from Mark Donovan to the state of Kansas and lawmakers, there was that little barb in there of, you know, we haven't really heard anything back on our last offers from the administration. And I'm like, that's interesting. That's strange. Get that confirmed that in the reply from Ty Masterson, the Senate president, a Republican who's probably going to run for governor, it sounds like. We have to figure out what's going on with that lack of reply. Like, okay, all right, that's just weird. Like, can we just come, you know, is that you talking about the governor's office there? Yeah. We're talking about, okay, governor's Democrat. And there's an election coming up, by the way, pretty soon. Now, as KC Starr reports yesterday, Masterson's on the radio in Kansas City, and he's been accusing the governor's office of wanting the Royals more than the Chiefs. Apparently, he asked Mark Donovan to send a letter to relight the fire. So now here we go. Here we go. Tommy, the politicians are involved now. We went so long with this like perfect unison of like Kansas lawmakers are aligned on this. They got to the betting. They got to the star bonds. They get to all of these things to try and unify and bring them over. And here comes an election year, and here come the politics. So now it's Republicans want the Chiefs and Democrats want the Royals more. Like, what? The star bond has the, like, in the language that they both come, like, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to insert politics into everything? It's so lame.
That's just the way things are. It's the way the world works. It's the way the world works. I do think that there is a decent amount of stadium talk fatigue going on right now. I think generally speaking, with people that are following it, like, they're kind of tired of hearing about it. They're kind of tired of hearing about a different new development every single day. And speculation here and what's going to happen there and all these different things. And then you add in politics on top of it. And I'm sure that just makes that fatigue go through the absolute roof, because there's nothing more that I like talking about than politics getting in the way of a good stadium debate. It's unfortunate, but it's predictable. I think it's probably, I don't know. I think it's remarkable that we're just now getting really this partisan divide. And this has been, I mean, the whole stadium debate and the whole stadium situation has gone on for a couple of years now, and we're literally just now getting a pretty heavy partisan divide in all of this. Kind of remarkable it took this long to get there.
I don't know if we are actually getting it, but they're trying to create it.
Well, it's all manufactured, right? Like, that's it's yes, it, and, it and it doesn't I, matter if we're talking about professional sports teams or something else. If there's a way to wedge politics in there, then that's what's going to happen. And for politicians to use it to their advantage to try to garner support and votes and you name it, that's just the way that the world works today. It's unfortunate. I'm kind of, desensitized to it a little bit because it happens so much, but it doesn't make it any better. And it takes away from the whole reason that this whole situation got started, and that is to find a new home for these two teams and to help, you know, potentially have a great export for the state of Kansas and tourism.
Well, and like, what are you saying to the prospective teams when you're painting this picture that some politicians want one of them more than the other politicians want. I can tell you this with confidence, and this is my opinion and nothing else. Take it for what it's worth. If we weren't coming up on an election, this wouldn't be happening. Right? The timing is so, again, it's just all so predictable. Like, what does it matter if, I mean, there are lots of us that are having discussions about, boy, if it's just one, which one do you think would be better for the state? Would it be the team that, you know, brings the potential of a dome and a Super Bowl and all the events and the greatest, you know, show in the world in NFL football? Or would it be the one that has 81 home dates? How many times, Tommy, have we had that exact same conversation? Well, if you could just have one, which one do you think would be better for the state? Like, what are we doing? Why does that need to be out public facing? That's not good. That's what Missouri does. That's what they do in Missouri, right? Like, send that crap over there. Like, over here, you guys hammered through wagering in anticipation of this. You hammered through a star bond, big ones, biggest the state's ever done in anticipation of this. Like, there was all this cohesion. You've got a largely politically motivated to one side state with a governor of the other side. Like, this is a state where usually outside of these dadgum elections, like, puts that stuff to the side and tries to do what it thinks. And it's not always right. Of course, it's not always right, but tries to do what it thinks is best for the state. And right now, what's best for the state is not a public facing debate. It'd be like having a public debate with your wife about one of your kids is your favorite. Like, why? What good does that serve at all? The governor's office accusing special interest groups of trying to basically grease palms on the other side. And so, like, now it's getting nasty. Now it's getting nasty. Do that stuff after you secure the deal, right? If you need to get into that palm grease, whatever, you're like, it's just, here we go. Here we go. It's so stupid. It drives me insane. I can't stand it. Hopefully they all grow up and realize this is either a good idea or a bad idea for the state of Kansas. And it's not either way going to be because of a Republican or a Democrat thought it up. Like, nobody's going to get to take credit for this one. This was a collective governing effort from all parties involved, from what I can tell. And now everyone's going to try and dunk on each other, and we'll see what that does. I don't know if it hurts the chances ultimately. Probably these teams don't care because they're adults and they know how this works. So we'll find out. It's an interesting development, but man, I told you the second that sentence or whatever was in that letter, I'm like, oh, crap. Here we go. This is a dig. This is a partisan dig right here. And here we go. It's gonna go that direction. And I hope that it doesn't in the actual negotiations, and it continues to be a good faith, here's what's good for the state and not what's good for my political future conversation.
Well, think about the amount of time that we've spent and others have spent in criticizing the state of Missouri for not being able to get their crap together to get something done, you know, and all of the backbiting and arguing and debating and fighting and whatever at the lawmaker level in the state of Missouri, where like they went back and forth for so long and couldn't get anything figured out. And whether or not they should have gotten something figured out, that's not even the debate. I mean, because I know that there were people in the state of Missouri, and honestly, there are lawmakers in the state of Kansas as well that don't think that this is something that money should be spent on. Like, both sides are sure, there are people
that's
like that.
That's the conversation to have.
Right, like that's an okay conversation to have. And so it's not even about what they were arguing about or what they were fighting about in Missouri. It's just simply the fact that they couldn't come together for the longest time. And the fact that there was such a delay in the state of Missouri in getting something figured out, because the voters voted it down in Jackson County, and then the lawmakers were like, well, let's see if there's a way we can do something at our level. And it took so long that allowed the state of Kansas to really swoop in, because Kansas at that time had their crap together enough to, and had the mechanism with the star bonds and all of that to be able to get something done. Now you fast forward, Missouri's gotten their deal done as far as what they can offer both of these teams. Kansas has an offer on the table, but things have stalled a little bit. And regardless of where it's coming from, regardless if the governor's office isn't responding or if that's manufactured or whatever the situation might be, everything that we have been poking fun at Missouri about and their lawmakers about. It's now starting to happen in the state of Kansas, where you're starting to see that divide and you're starting to see finger pointing and accusations and things like that. And for me, I think the only thing that is really disappointing about it is that for the longest time, I was proud. I'm like, you know what? Look at our neighbors to the east and look at the dysfunction that they've got going on in their Capitol building and all of that, because they can't get their stuff figured out. And when we've got everything, everybody's aligned and we're all agreeing and everything in Kansas until now. And it's embarrassing.
Well, it is. It's embarrassing because it doesn't need to be front facing. These are discussions that you can have, very important, very critical discussions. Again, we've been having them forever. If it was one, which would you prefer? But you designed the law to take both, right? You didn't design the law to only take one. So why would you do that, A? And it just, like, again, if there, it doesn't have to be out in the open public like this. It doesn't do any good, because what's going to happen now? You're going to get one side feeling the need to defend itself, and then it just turns into this back and forth. And it's like, guys, like, there's not like a, this isn't, you know, this isn't some political fundamental debate that you need to, feel like to get your barbs in. You're having a real discussion that impacts the Kansas economy. If, you know, what are the important things to each one? Like, what should we be willing to provide one side? What should we be willing to provide the other? How do we project this out? When does it pay these star bonds off? How many jobs does it bring in? How much payroll does it add to the Kansas economy? How many jobs does it add to the Kansas economy? Like, all of this stuff, we don't need to be out in the open blaming the other side. If the governor's office dropped the ball with the Chiefs because they want the Royals more, that's a big problem. And it should be solved internally, if at all possible, because there are mechanisms in place to solve it. And the thing about the letter from Donovan is, especially if it was asked for, well, of course he's going to take that jab if he thinks it's going to sweeten the pot for the Chiefs. Don't allow the Chiefs to sweeten the pot. You've sweetened their pot plenty. If they don't want to take 70%, let them stay in Missouri. But we don't, you know, like, it's just whatever.
Well, and there is another development that came out yesterday. Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star wrote about Frank White, and he's under a lot of controversy right now anyway in Jackson County. But he did send the Missouri governor a letter yesterday talking about that he is open to now supporting a sales tax in Jackson County that's earmarked for a renovated Arrowhead Stadium. And so he basically said that he would back an extension of the sales tax, a third of it reserved for an Arrowhead Stadium makeover, and then other things in the county that he feels like are priorities. That's where the remainder of it would go. Now, I have no idea if this will even be taken seriously, because the Chiefs now have options where they didn't have options before when they were talking with Frank White in Jackson County. But I do think that that is an interesting development, because for the longest time, Frank White was just like, yeah, no, I'm not interested in anything. And so he's starting to come around a little bit. And so it makes me wonder if there's any kind of attractiveness to something that would look at more of an Arrowhead Stadium makeover as opposed to a brand new stadium.
No, I think it sounds like he's sort of, to me, I read that as he's doubling down on his convictions. Like, yeah, we'll extend the sales tax, but you don't get all of it. Like, we'll use the other, if we're going to do that, we'll use the other parts to actually help the infrastructure of the county. I think it's him doubling down.
You know, I think there's a little bit of a compromise there, right? Because it went from like, yeah, I don't want anything.
Yeah,
we're not
but
do
they're,
anything.
You're offering them less than they were already getting. So, he's holding to his, he's sticking to his chest. Now,
I mean,
all
his,
of
his
this
quote,
aside, as annoyed as I am, I think we are clearly annoyed that it's becoming political. I do think that, you know, if you're going to have to, if there is a desire to only do one, if there is some reason for that, that becomes a really interesting discussion for us and for everybody. And I hope our lawmakers behind closed doors, not out in the open, of which one benefits the state more. I think about this all the time. I default to the Chiefs because it's the NFL, because it brings in potentially massive events if you dome that stadium, like the Super Bowl, like Final Fours, like concerts, which it already gets, but concerts 12 months out of the year, potentially. I think I would say the Chiefs is a better bet. It's just, it's NFL, right? So I think I would lean that way. And if you, and if there is any need or desire, if the Chiefs are going to power play their way into any pot sweetening with that, which is a part of the negotiation that is inherently going to happen. Again, my problem isn't that it is. My problem is that it's going to get public facing, which is a problem for the state of Kansas. Then I think I would still lean Chiefs. I also think the Royals are better served to be in downtown Kansas City than anywhere else. Although Truist Park last night at the All-Star Game festivities is a good example of what you can do. I would have to look at the population densities. I'd be curious about that too, of where Truist Park is versus a potential, you know, move over to the Kansas side. Like, would you be able to have enough people to justify that kind of retail that was around the stadium? But it's all happening. I hate that it's going to get into the public, but it is. Because we've got parties involved that are looking for political ambitions and defenses and all of these things that are happening. But here we go. I mean, it's continuing. And I hope that we get some resolution one way or the other soon. I think you said it and hit it right on the head. Fatigue with all of this is for sure setting in. And it's benefiting, I think, the two teams involved as much as it is anything else, because there's going to begin to be desperation for political wins here. And that means that the teams, could you imagine being, you know, like Mark Donovan and be like, hey, we need you to write a letter. Be like, oh, sure.
What would you like me to say? Yeah.
What would you like me to say? Yeah. Yes, I will absolutely do that. You want me to say, we think you should kick in a little bit more money? I'll say that.
Yeah. Like, I remember when, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, obviously, that letter came out from Mark Donovan. And I remember reading it and I'm like, this is odd. Like, this is kind of a weird letter. And now we know that it was inspired or at least requested by Ty Masterson and all of that. And look, I get it. There's game playing. It's a game of chess, obviously. It's unfortunate that it's now all public facing. But at the end of the day, like, I think we kind of knew. I'm surprised it took this long, to be honest with you, for it to actually get kind of dirty and underhanded.
And maybe that's a part of the delay. Maybe that's why if you're really good at what you do, which of course they are, and you're the Chiefs and the Royals, you're like, you know what? Let's just sit back. Like, everyone says this is their best offer. Let's let them stew a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll get a better offer. And they will. They will.
They will, because at the end of the day, I don't care if it's Kansas or if it's Missouri. That region is not going to lose those two franchises.
No. Yeah. Like, for as fans, not a whole lot changes. I am my curious brain. I really want to know. And I wish I could, like, I want to know if this kind of thing could actually be a boon. Like, if you actually end up in the net positive. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. You can chime in on anything you want to talk about. If you missed any of the stadium latest, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. You can leave us your comments on that as well. Let's talk about Trey Smith, Tommy. Trey Smith's deadline is later this afternoon to sign an extension or play on the franchise tag. Now, I have not seen anything, but I could have missed it, that he has any indication of not playing on that tag, a holdout. He's the only one in the NFL, which is pretty crazy. He will be the highest paid guard in football if he plays on the tag. The highest contracts are around $21 million per year. His cap is about $23 million this year. So, like, for me, when I look at that, I see what he's making. I see what the other guys are making at the position. You'd essentially have to make him the highest paid guard to break the number you have now. So, like, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm probably saying, all right, we'll go 4 years, $80 million. Let's start there. And if Trey Smith doesn't want that, honestly, say, okay, play out the year. I mean, I don't know how much pressure the Chiefs are under here, Tom. They're already making him the highest paid guard in football this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I'm really, if there is going to be an extension between now and 3 o'clock, it's being kept under wraps so much. Like, nobody knows. And as recently as 12 hours ago, Ian Rappaport last night reported That they're still having talks surrounding a multi-year deal, but it remains to be seen whether he gets one before the deadline. So even the NFL insiders don't have any information other than just talks are continuing. You know, I don't know how much weight you give to a guy like Mike Florio, but he has talked about that he's not optimistic that they will complete an extension by the deadline. So, who knows? I don't think anybody really has an idea on whether or not this will actually happen by 3 o'clock today.
Yeah. Florio is who he is. I have a hard time because his is like his opinion with his actual reporting blends so much that I never know, like, which am I getting? Just your opinion? Because right. I'm doubtful that it happens too. Or is there anything that you've actually heard that makes you think that? So I'm not sure.
And one of the things that the justification for Mike Florio talking about all of this, which is interesting, and I haven't thought about this before. So he says that Trey Smith's perspective in his mind is that because of the fact that the Chiefs are going so far deep into the postseason every single year, that he's playing more games than other guards will and has, you know, over the last 4 years. So his point is that Smith has played 13 extra games in 4 years, and he's taken 100% of the snaps in every single one of them. And so the perspective from Trey Smith is his new contract needs to have more money in it because of the fact that he's consistently playing more snaps and more games every single year than comparable players in the NFL, because consistently the Chiefs are making deep runs in the playoffs.
They get paid. NFL players get paid to right. play in the playoffs. So I'm just
telling you what Florio's opinion is on that.
It's not a ton, right? I don't think it's equivalent to their salary.
He goes on to say that his deal in his mind, that he thinks that Trey Smith's deal needs to contemplate something more than the paltry playoff checks for the 3 extra games or 4 extra games he has played every single year.
That would be equivalent to me going to my bosses and saying, hey, we've had severe weather 4 times this year that's made me have to stay past when I'm supposed to stay. I'm going to need you guys. Like, no. Like, there are things in the job that, like, yeah, no. And if I'm the Chiefs, like, that's a cute effort, but get out of here with that. Like, okay, go play for somebody who doesn't make the playoffs every year. If that really matters, right? Like, there's no, like, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because no other player cares. And he doesn't care either. He wants to play in the playoffs. He's a professional athlete that's competitive. But it's a nice try. If it's not going to work, it's not going to change anything. The bottom line is the Chiefs have to decide if they want to allocate that many resources. They already dumped a bunch of money into Creed Humphrey. Do you want to allocate those kinds of resources to your interior linemen? And honestly, if Trey Smith, if he just wants to be the highest paid guard, which he has every right to want to be the highest paid guard, and he will be the highest paid guard if he plays on the cap this year. I mean, if he plays on the tag this year, then that's all fine. But if he wants a long-term deal to reset the market as a guard, is that really the best way for the Chiefs to use their money? And let me say this, and I should have said this off the top. Trey Smith is one of my favorite linemen to watch, maybe ever. I think Trey Smith is awesome. I'm not sure if I'm the Chiefs. I'm wanting to be in the business of spending that kind of money on a guard when I don't run the football. Right? The Chiefs don't run the ball. And they just took Simmons, and they just brought in more depth at the position. And eventually they still probably like the upside of Wanya Morris and Kingsley Suamataia. Like, you have backup plans in place beyond this year. And oh, by the way, they have been awesome at drafting interior linemen over the years. So, like, to me, and I hate saying it this way because I love the player, what benefit is there for the Chiefs to sign a long-term deal making Trey Smith the highest paid guard in football?
Well, I think you've got consistency, stability, like that sort of thing. While they've been great at drafting interior offensive linemen, and you're absolutely right about that. Look at Creed Humphrey, look at Trey Smith, like all of that. There's been instability on, you know, other places on the offensive line. And so if you can at least get the interior of it locked up, you know, then at that point, at least that's one thing you don't have to worry about down the road. I do think there is a scenario that I know we talked a lot about the different ways this could play out yesterday on the show. One potential scenario that I didn't think about until this morning that could potentially, I could see happening. Maybe the Chiefs and Trey Smith are just content to let him play on the franchise tag this year. And then after this year, remember, you've got Juwan Taylor's contract coming off your books after next year. And so maybe it's, hey, we're going to have you play on the tag this year, and then we'll talk about an extension and see if we can get you done after we get Juwan Taylor's contract off of our books. Because that is, I mean, you look at the top three guys, the number against the cap on the Chiefs right now, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Chris Jones, and it's Juwan Taylor. And so if you can get Juwan Taylor out of there, which they're going to, we've been talking about that forever. That's been telegraphed forever that they're not going to re-sign him, that he's going to be gone after this season. Then at that point, you do have more cap room to play with. And that could be a scenario where I guess Trey Smith could potentially be tagged a second time. He won't be, though. I think that they will try, you know, if they don't get it done now, the thought will be, let's try to get something done once Taylor's contract comes off our books.
And that's a nice excuse for the Chiefs, and I think there's reality, but the other reality is they could still do the deal now, knowing that his contract's coming off the books. They have $10 million right now, you know, in cap room, so they could. I think you have a conversation with Patrick Mahomes, first and foremost, as you always should. I think you have to understand, like for me, again, as much as I love the player, like you have to understand what is our team built around. Having two tackles is more important to me. Mahomes doesn't pressure up the middle. You never want to see that against the Chiefs. You never want to see that against anybody. But Mahomes is rolling out on a lot of his stuff anyway. Like I think you may look at the teams that pay their guards. I think it's the Eagles just did. I think the Colts do. Like these are teams that run the ball a ton. Right? The Chiefs don't run the ball a ton. It doesn't make sense stylistically, as much as I love the player, to commit that kind of dollars there until you know you have tackle solved. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think the Chiefs should sign up Trey Smith long term. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying doing it right now makes no sense to me. I don't know why they would, because they can just play him out on the cap. He's already going to be the highest paid guard in football this year. Let him play the cap, not necessarily because Juwan Taylor, because you know you're going to get rid of Juwan Taylor, but to extend the goalposts and see if Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons can be your bookend guys. And then you approach it from there. Okay, now here's what we need. We know we have those guys. Also, to see how left guard works out. How does Caliendo look as a starter?
Well, it's not going to be Caliendo. It's going to be Kingsley Suamataia to start the season, right?
Right now, their depth chart lists Caliendo is why I bring him up, but
I do think that there is, you know, a little bit of truth to that. I think you've got to keep an eye on what happens at left guard, because they're trying to find a way to make Kingsley Suamataia a starting offensive lineman in some capacity, whatever that looks like. And it looks like it's going to be left guard. But that remains to be seen if he can actually play that position or not. And so what you don't want to have happen is you don't want to have a situation where you don't have Trey Smith and you don't have left guard. And then you've got holes on both sides of the line interior. So I do think that that is something that, you know, you have to keep in mind also. And I think even if Kingsley Suamataia turns into an okay starter, he's not going to be Trey Smith. And so
You can pay him as the highest paid guard. He's that good. I just don't know if the Chiefs should yet, right? What if this contract cut, waiting for the Chiefs also buys you time to look at the young secondary and the young pass rushers you just drafted? Are any of these guys replacing the high-priced free agents we're going to have? Because if they can't, then that intensifies the pressure to bring back McDuffie or bring back Karlaftis or Smith. Like, the Chiefs have every benefit to wait because they can see what the reinforcements look like and know where they've got to allocate their dollars. We know that the Chiefs have an appetite to pay a guard. Joe Tooney was well compensated with Kansas City, right? So it's not like they just don't want to pay a guard. I think if I'm the Chiefs, so I just want to see this all play out. That's why, like, the deadline today, I'm like, nah, there's, I can't find the benefit to the Chiefs. Maybe I'm missing something, but I can't find the benefit to the Chiefs of a long-term deal now versus just letting him play out the tag this year.
Well, the benefit to the Chiefs, at least in the short term, is that the average annual value that they're going to get is going to be less if they sign him to a long-term deal than what they're going to be paying him on the tag this year.
By $1 million or $2 million. So then still instead gonna be of less. $10 million, they have $12 million. What are they going to do with that money?
Long-term. I'm talking long-term also. Like, you've got
him. Well, yeah, but you can, but that you can have that discussion after the season.
You're right, but there is a scenario. Like, he could always play. There could be a franchise tag opportunity for a second year too. Like, that happens in the NFL occasionally. Not that it would happen in this scenario, but
no, because he'd hold out.
He would definitely hold out. So, I mean, you're avoiding a long-term logjam if you can just get it done now, get him locked up, long-term deal. And I also believe, and I said this yesterday, the Chiefs have telegraphed this, in my opinion. You don't trade Joe Tooney without the idea of having a long-term deal done with Trey Smith. That's
right.
Just the way that they I think they telegraphed this.
We'll continue, and then we'll get into it with Felix Johnson. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back another hour of Sports Daily coming up.